I'd like to begin today with a definition of a word from the American Heritage Dictionary. Now, some of you may know the word after you hear the definition. So here it is. A condition or deep feeling of pleasure or delight, happiness and gladness. The expression or manifestation of such a feeling. A source or object of pleasure or satisfaction. And here is a hint that may help you. It is a three-letter word. Just a three-letter word. Any idea what word that defines? A condition or deep feeling of pleasure or delight, happiness or gladness. The expression or manifestation of such a feeling, a source or object of pleasure or satisfaction. That is the definition for the three-letter word, joy. Joy, a condition or feeling of pleasure, delight, happiness, and gladness. Think for a minute of some things that bring you a feeling of happiness and gladness, that bring you delight, things that bring you joy. That may be a fun discussion to have with your wife or your husband, with your kids, or with your friends. What are some things that bring you joy? Well, here are some things that may come to mind. Certainly there are many, many things, but here are just a few to get you thinking. How about preparing and eating your favorite food or dessert? Now, for those that like to prepare food, it's a joy for them to cook the food. And for those of us that like to eat food, it's a joy for us to eat their favorite foods. How about a warm summer evening watching a sunset? That's something that never seems to get old. Or a crisp fall morning seeing a sunrise. How about holding your sleeping baby or grandbaby? Maybe finishing a project around the house that you've been wanting to do or had started a while back, and the joy when you finish that project. How about helping someone else with a project? I'm not sure why it is. I can have the same project at my house on my list, and someone else has the same project at their house, and I can go help them with their project, and it's so much more enjoyable than doing that same project at my house. How about spending time with family and friends? Maybe seeing children playing or laughing together. Those things certainly do bring us joy. And the list can go on and on of the many blessings from God that bring us all joy in so many ways when we pause and take the time to think about them and to enjoy them. Another aspect of joy that all of us here in this room experience is the inner joy that comes as a result of growing as a follower of God's way, growing in godly character, and growing in godly righteousness, maturing as a future member of God's family. Now, many times this growth can come from the many challenges and difficulties we face in our lives. We have all experienced the joy of growth in our spiritual lives from the challenges we face and overcome with God's help in this life that He has called us to live. So there is certainly an inner joy or a feeling of happiness and gladness as we grow and overcome as one of God's children. But of course, we are happy when the trial is over, but what should we feel when a challenge or a difficulty begins in our life? Let's find that answer in James chapter 1. Turn with me, if you would, back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and we'll read verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The New International Version of this verse says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. It's interesting that James starts his epistle with greetings to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad here in verse 1, and then his opening statement in verse 2 is count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into trials. This is how he began his epistle here in James. Now, I hope we understand that we do not need to leap with excitement and glee when we're dealing with challenges and trials that may come our way. That certainly is not the point. But rather, our happiness and our joy are for the growth that we can experience through the difficulties, and the joy at the other end when we've overcome and grown from the trials that we will go through. And James goes on here in chapter 1 in his opening statements to help us understand this in verses 3 and 4. Let's read that now in James 1, verses 3 and 4. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Trials can certainly be a test of our faith at times, and while we ask God for deliverance from trials, it requires faith and it tests our patience so we can grow from the many challenges that we will face. The title for this message is Count It All Joy. Count it all joy. Now, for the next few minutes, let's look at some ways we can overcome and grow from trials, and in turn, where we might be able to count it all joy. Now, we all seem to be busier than ever with our lives today as the pace of life seems to keep going faster and faster. I'm not sure that I always take the time to think, this is a trial. What am I supposed to be learning? Small trials in our lives may come and go, and we hardly realize it, and the opportunity for growth may be missed completely. As I was thinking about and preparing this message, I realized that I miss opportunities to grow from small trials because I'm not taking just a little bit of time to reflect on and to see the growth opportunities that the daily challenges of life can provide for us. The big trials are hard to miss, and sometimes the lessons are certainly obvious. But I believe we can grow from our small daily challenges as well, if we slow down enough to identify and to learn from them. Now, many times our trials may involve or certainly can have an effect on our relationships with others. We should be aware of others and our example during and even after these small tests we face. During a trial or when a trial is over, do we take the time to reflect on whether we learned and grew from it? A couple questions we could ask in our reflections after a trial might be, did I grow in patience? Many trials certainly can test our patience. Was I compassionate? Did I show love and outgoing concern towards others during the trial? Was I selfless or was I selfish? Were my words kind or were my words hurtful? Did I seek God's help from the very beginning? Would my example be of any help to others? Was there growth, even just a little? And did I remember to thank God for His help? Now, I really believe that there has to be some thought and some reflection before growth can be realized and appreciated as we learn from life's challenges. We are all faced with and we all deal with trials on a regular basis, whether large tests or small tests. Are we taking the time to think and to reflect on the growth opportunities we are in, or perhaps that we have just come through? Here are a few lines from the reflections of a 29-year-old woman on her trial of fighting cancer after it had gone into remission. This was in an article in January in Life, Hope, and Truth. She said, "I've found that what I went through helped me to be able to empathize more fully with others who suffer serious health trials, enabling me to pray for them with more compassion and with more feeling. In addition," she said, "it helped me appreciate the blessing of good health when I did recover. I've learned never to take health for granted. Despite the trial, there were good things that happened during this time. I can say that I truly drew closer to God than I ever had before. Throughout the ordeal, I saw His hand through little blessings that gave me encouragement as I dealt with the biggest trial of my life." Great spiritual and personal growth comes from reflection, from slowing down and taking the time to think so we can learn and grow from our challenges. As we look at some ways we can grow from trials, keep in mind, great growth can come from reflection. Our first point is trials teach us to rely on God first. Trials can teach us to rely on God first. Now, maybe it's partly a guy thing, I don't know, but I find for me, many times my first reaction is to rely on myself to get through a trial. Maybe you have that inclination as well, instead of immediately seeking God's help and relying on Him. But we know 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." We know that means we can and should be instant in prayer, seeking God's help right away when a situation comes up. When we don't do this, then we are trying to work through a trial on our own without God's help. That is never a good approach. Trials can and should help us to rely on God first, to pray for His Spirit to guide us and to help us. We all know this, but do we still sometimes wait to seek God's help instead of asking for it right away? Pray without seeking, seek without ceasing, be instant in prayer. A better time to ask for God's help is when we see the hole in the boat, not after the boat has sunk. We know 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, "Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." It doesn't say seek God after you've tried everything else. It says cast all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3. Back to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll read verses 5 through 7. Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll begin here in verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." God wants us to seek His help. He wants us to rely on Him, whether we are dealing with small trials or big trials. Cast all your cares upon Him. He cares for you. The book of Psalms is filled with many scriptures that tell us to rely on God, to seek His help in our times of difficulties. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 34. Back to Psalm chapter 34. We'll read a couple verses here in Psalm 34 that can encourage us to rely on God first through our trials. Psalm chapter 34, and we'll read verse 4. "I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." And skip down to verse 6. "This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them." Skip on down now to verse 15. "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry." In verse 17, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." In verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." God is always there, ready and willing to help. We should fight our human tendencies to just do it ourselves and remember to seek God's help first in our trials. Trials can teach us to rely on God first. Our second point, trials can encourage us. Yes, trials can encourage us. Now, one of the most common byproducts of trials certainly can be discouragement. It's certainly common, it's understandable, and we can feel discouraged through our trials, particularly when they are ongoing trials that may last for weeks or months or even years. These trials are not only a challenge for the person afflicted, but can be difficult for family and friends to see a loved one suffering for so long. These real trials can provide us with real growth opportunities. Turn, if you would, back to 1 Peter chapter 4. Back to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll read verses 12 and 13. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." We humans tend to sometimes wonder why, when we experience challenges and difficulties in our life or in the lives of our family and our close friends. But here Peter says, don't think it strange concerning this trial as though some strange thing happened to you. I like the wording here, reminding us that life is full of challenges. So don't think that it's strange. Don't think it's unusual when we're faced with various trials at various times in our lives. It's not odd. It's not strange. It is part of the life we've been called to. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll just read one verse here that's encouraging whenever we're dealing with a long and a difficult trial. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll read verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. It's not odd, it's not strange. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God will give us the strength we need to get through any difficulty we may face. He has called us, He is working in us, and He will do His part to see us through to being a member of His very family. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Back to Philippians chapter 1. And again, we'll read just one verse here, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. When we become discouraged during the difficult times in life that we face, these words from the Apostle Paul can be a great encouragement to us and help us to press on with God's help. We will all have trials throughout our life in varying degrees of severity at different times in our life. But we can be encouraged every day by what we read early in Psalm 34 and verse 17. The righteous cry out, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. We are so blessed to know and understand that God hears the cry of the righteous. Let's turn back now to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. And we'll read verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How encouraging are those words for all of us as we face trials in our lives, knowing we have instant and direct access to God, to His Spirit, and to His guidance and deliverance is a tremendous blessing of comfort and encouragement for all of us. Encouragement can come from the lessons we learn and from the growth that we experience as we draw closer to God through the trials that we all go through. A third way trials can help us grow is trials help to teach us patience. Trials help to teach us patience. So many things we all deal with today are geared toward speed. Things are expected to be fast. We may get impatient at a fast food restaurant when we don't get our order in less than a minute. We want our computer screen to immediately turn on when we move our mouse, not 5 seconds after we move our mouse. We live in a fast-paced society, and we expect things to happen fast. And sometimes we can get impatient when they don't. I believe one of my little patience tests is checking out at a grocery store, or in particular, in checking out at Sam's Club. Now, I have this process that I use to try to pick the line that will get me checked out and out the door the fastest way possible. So as I come around the corner with my big cart of stuff, I quickly analyze the choices of lines I have to check out in. I look at the number of people in each line. I look at the number of items in their carts. I try to guess which ones may write a check, which always takes longer. Then I try to evaluate what my perceived efficiency is of each cashier and how fast they're moving. So after this very brief but very scientific analysis, I move my cart filled with cases of items like a case of toilet paper equal to 160 regular rolls, a case of paper towels equal to 80 regular rolls, a 4-pound bag of coffee, and a gallon jug of Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. I step into the line I'm sure will put me out the door in the least amount of time. Invariably, after I have chosen a line based on my careful scientific analysis, I then watch all the lines that I did not choose as the people who would have been in front of me go out the door. And the people who were in front of me in line are still there. Now, I keep trying this process because I know that the odds are now in my favor. And soon, I'll pick the right checkout line for years and years. Well, there are many things that we encounter throughout our week, just in our day-to-day activities, that can be little tests of our patience. Of course, this is a very minor example, irritating as it is. But we can all relate to the tests of our patient that these types of situations allow us to have. But we've all had much bigger tests, haven't we? More severe challenges. The trials that go on for extended periods of time that certainly try our patience and that drive us to our knees to ask God to give us the strength to endure to the end. These trials provide us with opportunities to grow in patience and help us learn to wait on God. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40. I believe we're only a page or two over. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. God's timing is perfect. We need to have the patience to wait on Him when we pray for deliverance from our trials. We can rest assured that God is involved in our life. He knows our situation, and He knows our needs. Just before Christ gave us the outline for our prayers, He made a most encouraging statement in Matthew chapter 6. Turn with me, if you would, back to Matthew chapter 6. We won't go through the outline of prayer today. Let's read a few verses before that. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read verses 5 through 8. Matthew chapter 6, and beginning in verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And in verse 8, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Your Father knows what you need before you ask. How encouraging is that statement? Our Heavenly Father knows what we need before we ask Him. God knows our needs, but we must ask in our daily prayers. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, we won't turn there, but it says, ask and it will be given to you, and everyone who asks receives. We grow in patience as we go through trials in our life, waiting on God's answers in His perfect timing. Although it is difficult for us at times to understand that some of the answers to our why questions may not be known to us in this physical life. But we can have comfort knowing that God is in charge. Turn, if you would, back to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And we'll read verse 14. Psalm chapter 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, anytime we have to wait, it requires some level of patience, doesn't it? I believe we have small tests of patience every day. And we know it requires great faith and patience for us to wait on God as we are instructed. Let's turn now back to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll read verses 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We need patience, brethren, to inherit God's promises, and trials can help us grow in patience. Our fourth point is through trials we grow in obedience. Through trials we grow in obedience. Now we know certainly not all trials we are faced with come as a direct result of our disobedience. But there are times, either as a trial begins, maybe while we're working through it, or sometimes when we take the time in prayer and reflection after a trial is over, that we can see that it was brought on us largely by our lack of obedience to God and to following His way. God gave instructions to the Israelites about the benefits of obeying His laws and His statutes at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 5. Turn with me, if you would, back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And of course, earlier in Deuteronomy 5, Moses gave the Ten Commandments he had received directly from God to the Israelites. And now let's read the last two verses here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 and 33. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 32. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Here God tells us to be careful to do as He commands us, to walk in all the ways of God that it may be well with us. Growing in our obedience to God is the way to real happiness and joy in our lives, brought on by our diligence and our care to follow His commandments of showing love toward God and love towards others. Turn now, if you would, back to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 3. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. And he who says, I know Him, does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps the word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him and ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Prayer and thought and repentance and reflection after a trial can help us see opportunities for growth in our spiritual lives. Turn now to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5, and we'll read verses 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Here again, we see that through suffering in the trials of this life, we can and should grow in our obedience to God. Now turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. Back a few pages to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll read verses 7 through 11. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Trials certainly aren't fun and certainly aren't joyful in the present as we work our way through them. But afterward, as we grow and overcome from these challenges. We can grow in the fruit of righteousness. We can bear more fruits of God's Spirit in our lives through the suffering in this present life. So our trials can help us to grow in obedience. And our final point is trials can help us bear more fruit. Trials can help us bear more fruit. Let's start by asking ourselves a question. Is the good fruit I bear in my life greatly affected by the trials that I face? Is the good fruit I bear in my life greatly affected by the trials that I face? Or said another way, are my trials helping me to bear more good fruit or less good fruit? Are my trials helping me to bear more good fruit or less good fruit? Now, there are times when we're dealing with various difficulties and challenges in our life that some of the fruits we are to bear may not be as easy for us as it is when things are going more smoothly for us. That's not at all unusual, as we can see from a quote I came across in a recent Reader's Digest article. It's easy to be brave when there is no danger. It's easy to be kind when there is no hardship. It is moments of tranquility. It is not the moments of tranquility that define us. It's the challenging times and how we react to them. I'd like to repeat that. It's easy to be brave when there is no danger. It's easy to be kind when there is no hardship. It's not the moments of tranquility that define us. It's the challenging times and how we react to them. We might add, it is the challenging times and how we react to them and handle them that can show God our dedication to following His way of life. Trials are an important part of our growth. Trials can be very difficult and unpleasant in the short term, but can be a great help in our growth to bear more fruit, the fruit God wants to see grow in each one of us. Turn, if you would, back to Galatians chapter 5. These are two verses that we all certainly know. Most of us probably can recite them. But let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. And, of course, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, it's easy to read quickly through the nine fruits that are listed here in verse 2, or maybe even recite them from memory. But let's take a brief look at them as it relates to the trials that we face and the fruits we can bear as a result. Many times our trials have a relationship component, either directly or indirectly. What I mean by that is sometimes a trial directly involves other people and relationships. But many times there can be a relationship component that we don't think about as often. Let's go back to my example earlier of trying to pick the right line to check out at Sam's Club. After my brief scientific analysis of the situation and invariably choosing the wrong line, if I lose my patience, which is one of the fruits that I need to grow in, then I will most likely not bear other good fruit either. But if I don't lose my patience, then I can bear good fruit during the brief interaction with the cashier, even if she is slow. But if I don't get impatient, then I can show outgoing concern. I can bring joy and not anger. I can bring peace and not conflict. I can bring kindness and goodness and not contention. All because I didn't lose my patience because I picked the wrong line again. But if I fail to pass that little test of patience, the fruit I bear may be rotten and bad. Not the fruit God wants to see in me or the fruit He wants to see in any of us. So the trials and the tests and the challenges that we face, whether big or small, can be a catalyst that can help us to bear more of the fruit God wants to see grow and develop in each one of us. As we said earlier, great growth can come from reflection when the trial is over. Hopefully, when we take the time to reflect after a trial is passed, we see growth in the fruits that we can bear, the growth God expects from His family members. But as we look back, we may also see some areas that we need to work on, that we need to grow in, to be able to bear more good fruit. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. Back to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll read verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I would guess that most of us have at times been grieved by various trials in our life and in the lives of our family and our friends. Sometimes the challenges we face are severe, as though we are being tested by fire. But with the Helper, with God's Holy Spirit, and by our faith in the sure and the steadfast promises of God, we can rejoice with true joy as we learn from our trials to overcome, to grow towards being a member of the very family of God. As a part of this process, our trials can help us to bear more good fruit. Now, we all deal with various types and various degrees of trials on a pretty regular basis, I would imagine. Certainly some more severe and prolonged than others, and some only minor, but still trials nonetheless. These are opportunities for us to learn from. They are opportunities for us to grow from. As we learn and grow from our trials, we can learn to count it all joy because of the growth. Great spiritual and personal growth can come as a result of reflection during and after we face challenges in our life. Taking some time to think and to reflect can be a part of the joy that we can have as we grow and mature from the various trials that we face. We started out earlier in James chapter 1 and verse 2, where James began his epistle with this admonition: "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." I would like to encourage all of us to find that joy in the growth we can have during and after we face various trials, which we most certainly are and will. God wants and God expects us to grow. Trials can be a way that helps us to grow. And in that growth, brethren, let's remember to count it all joy.